the Finance Minister. Stephen Joyce is back with us this evening. Hello to you, Mr. Joyce.
Rachel, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well. Now, National, good. Rethinking immigration, in particular in the skilled migrant visa area, Minister. Why didn't you engage with the hospitality and the horticultural sectors first? Because you look to restrict those migrants, and that's what you've run into a bit of trouble with, isn't it?
No, well, that's exactly what we did. We went out and the proposals to that, to actually all industries. Those proposals were made a couple of months ago, and we've been consulting on them since, and we've got the feedback, and now we've got to make a final decision.
And so you won't be placing those restrictions on the skilled migrant visa that were mooted?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying we've put out these proposals, we got some feedback, and we've got to make a final decision on the proposals, and the Prime Minister's indicating that we'll tweak it a bit because of the feedback we've been given, which is the whole point of consulting on changes.
How much is this a hot-button topic, Minister, the issue of immigration? We've seen the political ramifications in the US and in Britain of unchecked migration. Do you see it as a big political issue in this election as well?
Well, we don't have unchecked migration in New Zealand. We have control over it. We always have.
The challenge Brits did as well, but it got pretty extensive.
No, they didn't. The Brits don't have control over it. That's actually the whole point of Brexit, is that they because they're in the EU, they're required to take everybody from wherever they come from across the EU. That's the big thing with Brexit in the UK. That's the big difference between New Zealand
and the UK. Immigration, though. We have huge numbers.
That's different from the fact as to whether we control it or not.
Still, it's a thorny issue in this country, though.
Well, I don't think it's as big an issue as it is overseas, but the big issue is, have we got enough people to fill the jobs that are available? And we've got a strong and growing economy at the moment. We're adding 10,000 net new jobs a month, which is very high by New Zealand standards. It's been going on now for more than a year, and actually we're approaching full employment. So we have some challenges, and that's been thrown up by the by the consultation, is that actually for a lot of companies in a lot of regions, if they don't get the opportunity to add skilled workers, they don't get to grow, and of course that slows the New Zealand economy down. So it's about getting that balance right, and that's what we're working on.
All right. Meanwhile, in Epsom, Gareth Morgan is considering running the Epsom, of course, an incredibly...
Yes, he's thinking of being a skilled migrant to Epsom.
Well, an incredibly influential electorate is Epsom. Does National want to win Epsom this year, or will you be giving a directive to your voters to vote for ACT again?
Oh, well, that's better for the Prime Minister, who will no doubt make some comment at
Less than
point.
2 months, though, out from the election.
Well, that's true. We are getting close to the witching hour, so I'm sure he'll make a statement on that at some point between now and then.
Gareth Morgan, though, running there, I mean, the urban elite, he's got somewhere. Our last poll, the NZME poll, showed that there was some interest in what Gareth Morgan is doing. Are you watching him?
Oh, of course. But it's democracy in terms of everybody gets a chance to stand where they want to. And if he decides to stand in Epsom, I think it'll make a more colourful contest. I'm not convinced necessarily that some of his prescriptions will appeal to Epsom voters, but they'll get to assess that. This whole idea of paying young people $200 a week, no matter what they do, is more of a sort of left-wing type prescription. And Epsom is certainly a bit more of the sort of centre-centre-right. So I think, but it's good. I think as much choice as possible, because that's the whole idea of an election, is you get to test these ideas.
All right, I want to talk about some land use regulations, Minister, because they make up about 56%. The value of land makes up about 56% of the cost of homes in Auckland, so more than half. And you recently said in a media release that you wanted to keep a strong focus on land supply, and certainly that's been the government's stance for a long time, so that section prices, you said, become much more reasonable. So are you saying land prices and therefore house prices need to drop?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that what we need is a greater availability of sections. If you want to keep the house market operating properly, then you've got to have sections available. So we've seen a big increase in the number of houses being constructed around the country. We're back up to almost levels last seen 11 years ago, but we need to keep seeing that occur because the country is growing. So we've got to learn to have a housing construction industry which grows at the rate that we need to maintain the growth in the country, and that's what's been happening over the last few years, and we need to keep stoking that. Hence the announcement yesterday on Crown Infrastructure Partners, hence the announcement a couple of weeks ago on the Housing Infrastructure Fund. It's to keep adding more supply to make sure that people are able to afford to buy sections of built houses on it.
This was a really interesting situation, though, that, you know, the Housing Infrastructure Fund as well, because I remember a bit of a standoff between local government in Auckland and central government in Wellington, whereby, you know, you were saying, look, build the houses, the infrastructure will follow. The council was saying we cannot approve for these houses to be built because there's no infrastructure. It seems to have taken us a long time to get where we are. But is it this, the government kind of conceding that you do need to build infrastructure before you can develop some of these big housing areas?
I don't think it's quite the right characterisation of it, in that it's always been the council's role to lead the local infrastructure. So that's the stuff that connects the big subdivisions with arterial networks. If you take South Auckland, where we were yesterday, the developer pays for the local roads around the subdivision, and then normally the council would pay to link that into, say, the motorway network. But it's that linking bit, whether it's in the water or the roading, which is some of the councils are struggling because they've spent their money on other things. So in the case of Auckland, they're already approaching their debt limits. They're saying they can't do these sorts of things.
Well, the speed of the city, the speed of how Auckland has grown has been pretty phenomenal. Unprecedented immigration as well. I mean, the council's doing a lot to try and keep up with this.
Well, some would argue about some of the individual costings and things, but that's not where we are at today. We've said, well, you've got to make your own decisions there, because their income's been going up hugely as well. But we have offered them two tools now, the Housing Infrastructure Fund, which they've taken up around $300 million of that. That's interest-free advances and debt, which is going to help them build some houses, build the infrastructure for a whole bunch of houses out in West Auckland. And now this option of the Crown Infrastructure Partners, which will help them with their big Auckland South plans, which is another sort of 17,000 houses and another 5,000 houses up by Wainui, near Dairy Flat and Rewa. So these are big.
We've got the money. Have we got the manpower, though? Are you concerned, in light of what happened with Fletcher Building last week, that we've got enough companies and we've got enough people to be able to carry out all this infrastructure?
Well, it's steadily growing. I mean, definitely we're going to end up with a construction sector that's bigger than we've ever had before, and we're already actually nearly at that point. So we had 180-something thousand people working in construction 2 years ago. We're now up at 250,000 nearly, and I imagine that we're going to get a fair way beyond that. Now, we've got enough. We've got a lot of people in apprenticeships, about 11,000 in construction apprenticeships, for example.
We need more, though, for sure.
Well, that's right, and there's plenty of more room. If anybody's keen to pick up the old hammer and get into the apprenticeships, there's plenty of spaces available to them. But then the other part, which brings us back to the start of the discussion, is we'll also need more skilled workers as well. And this is, this is the fact of the matter of a growing country. We have to keep growing. But I think overall, it's a very positive story, and you'll see the construction sector continue to grow. I was at the Christchurch Hospital acute services building project last week, which is a big project, 460 odd million. About a quarter of the people there are skilled migrants from overseas, mostly from the Philippines, and doing a great job building that hospital.
All right, Stephen Joyce, our finance minister, appreciate your time this evening.